So they've been running this thing on me together to keep me quiet about all the other stuff that I've been still trying to tell the public about. See, the people that were doing this to me are actually spread out all over the United States. They'll infiltrate a family, and then they'll start lying to one person, lying to another. And the next thing you know, they'll have some person filing child protection reports against the other parent, and they're lying, you know? And they stir these things up, so...
It's disturbing to know that someone like you, a journalist, is investigated, but yet someone like them have not been.
This is not a secret in the legal community. This is unbelievable. He said this order shouldn't even exist. It's so unconstitutional. And the worst part is, like, not just him, but not just me, but to what? To cover up what's being done to these little kids?
Do you want to save some serious money? Learn how a simple gadget can double your gas mileage while creating less pollution. The simple gadget does all of this while giving your car more power and longer engine life. Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This is an interview that I've been wanting to do for a while. I've been wanting an update with Timothy Holmseth about his federal lawsuit that they have going on with his case against these supposed pedophile traffickers. And I don't know if they're pedophile traffickers, but I do know they're really bad people. That's something that I've proven myself. I've done a show in the past, and you can see some of the information that I've uncovered in documents and court files. But his court case, he's going to talk about it, what was filed, what he's going after, why he's going after it, and he has a good attorney that's actually doing what he needs him to do. And then we talk more about the things that they've done to him. This is like a two-part, well, I split it into two parts. It really is a two-part show. He's talking about his court case, and then we move on to a case that's local in Minnesota with Jacob Wetterling. It's really disturbing for people who have followed the case from the beginning. So I want to warn you that this case, if you're were emotionally involved in that case, this is going to be disturbing for you. But I also want to say that every single thing that we talk about is backed up with actual court documents or evidence. So this is the real deal, and he brings this stuff forward. I asked him to please not talk about anything that he cannot back up with actual evidence. But he does stick around for my patrons, and he does more in depth with the Wetterling case of what he thinks is going on based on people he's talked to that he might not be able to 100% prove, but he thinks it's going to coming out based on all the people he's talked to and witnesses. Now, that's unlisted. It's not public, but it is for my patrons. Want to make sure people know that, because I got to protect this stuff as well, and making sure that YouTube knows that I'm a journalist, and I'm making sure that what is being brought forward is actual provable in documents. And then I want to remind you about a couple free summits. Well, specifically one summit about this cancer. It's a cancer summit. It's beyond cancer. It's what the edge of science is learning about cancer and what you can do. There are remedies. There are things you can do about cancer. And this is if you have a loved one that has cancer. I think 1 in 6 people now are getting cancer. It's ways that you can keep it from happening. It's ways that you can treat it maybe once you get it. And it's beyond chemotherapy. It's really great information. It's free. And if you know anybody, please share it. And I have the link below for you. So let's now get into my interview with Timothy Holmseth.
Hi, Tim. Welcome back to the program.
Professor Westall, nice to be with you.
I am really glad to have you back because I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, but you've been not really able to talk. I do want to still talk to your lawyer, which I know he's going to talk to me once he gets a little farther in the process. And it might even be a bigger picture talk about this whole industry, which would be good. But I want to talk. You finally have served your papers and you're in your lawsuit. Can you talk about, I mean, it's you against, I know you can't say their names because that's still out there, but I can. I'm a journalist. So the official lawsuit, which is public record, is Timothy Holmseth versus Kim Picasso et al. And there's a few other people that are listed on there. What is the lawsuit actually about? What are you claiming?
Well, it's It's a defamation of character lawsuit. There's other libel, slander. There's some other legal terms that are used as well. I think assault is actually one of them. I'd have to look at the actual language, but it's basically pertaining to false content that has been published about me. The stuff that they put on the internet. Do you want me to keep going with that?
They're putting false information about you on the internet while also shutting you up and not letting you do anything, your job. So isn't part of the lawsuit also saying you can't, this is against your constitutional rights?
Yes. In a parallel situation, I was arrested, as you know, by the East Grand Forks Police Department. Regarding an order that was put on me back in 2011, and that order said that I couldn't talk about a specific person. And not did it just say I couldn't talk about a person, but it actually said that I couldn't talk about that person using electronic communications, which meant, telephone, text, email.
Anything, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah, my attorney, Stephen Biss out of Virginia, he said, Tim, it's unconstitutional. He said that would prohibit you from even talking to me, meaning himself. So, like, if I was in jail, I couldn't call my attorney, and because I would be using electronic communication. So we don't do that in our country. Yet it was done, and it was done in collusion. I assert it was done in collusion with the police department and a city attorney in East Grand Forks. And so they've been running this thing on me together to keep me quiet about all the other stuff that I've been still trying to tell the public about.
Naturopath Liz Miller heard a tale about a delicious red tea. Some called it a voodoo tea that members of a Kenyan tribe in the remote African wilderness drank to stop all feelings of hunger. Liz was so intrigued she traveled to Africa to find this tea. What she learned is that, yes, indeed, there is a tea that not only stops hunger cravings, but that also burns fat and gives you unlimited energy. When you drink this tea, you will feel full, satisfied, and energized almost instantly, and your body will actually activate its natural ability to burn fat, a built-in superpower you might not have used in years. After a decade more of research and almost 3 years of real-world testing, the Red Tea Detox Program was formed into a complete program to detox the body and flush away fat. Learn more about this breakthrough discovery at the link below.
And I know that when I dug into it, I realized that there was a lot more to this. I started looking at the case, and I don't know all the details, obviously, but I noticed that there was a lot more to this, and anybody can go back and watch that video. And it's pretty clear that I didn't say that they were pedophile and they're doing a trafficking ring, but it was clear that there were pretty creepy, unsavory characters.
Yeah. And you're referring to a video that I think it was the last time you interviewed me. And, you know, to me, the wonderful thing about that is there's this video by Sarah Westall. It's been out there. I know that you were contacted and, you know, I won't say, I kind of threatened. And nonetheless, there's the video, and you have not been sued. So it's because everything you published was correct, and you showed the documents. And
oh yeah, I showed public documents because she called the police department on me, tried to get me to get that down. And the police came to my house, all this stuff. And
interesting.
I'm like, this is public information. I'm a journalist, and every single thing I put up there was public information. And just like today, everything that we need to be doing needs to be, you know, backed by a document so that I can say, because I don't want to get sued in any kind of way. And everything I do when it comes to something this serious, and I know you take this as serious as I do, when it becomes this serious, we have to make sure that we have documents, we have proof and evidence of everything that we're talking about.
And isn't it... You noted that the police came to your home because somebody called the police on you and tried to get something taken off the internet. Isn't it interesting that what happened to you is exactly the same thing that happened to me. The only difference is somebody managed to get a domestic violence protection order put on me in Broward County, Florida. Well, somebody that I'd never met using something called repeat violence, you know. But my point is that what happened to you is exactly the same thing that happened to me, only they were able to pull it off with me.
So basically, with me, you know, we were pretty active in the community and I grew up here and things. And I don't think people would believe that I'm involved in any kind of, I mean, I'm so active with children. People wouldn't think I'm hurting my children. My children would be completely behind me on that. They wouldn't think that I'm a pedophile. Majority of the people in this town would know that that's not true. They just know it. And my husband, they just know it. And so they can't do something like that here and people believe it. Although they were able to get a police officer to come and harass me and talk to me in a certain way. And I got the police chief involved right away in the loop. And he didn't say anything, but at least it helped drop it. It was bogus, you know. But my thing was, don't you think you have better things to do than harass a journalist that is publishing something that is public information?
Right.
I think they agreed with that at the end.
There's already processes set up within our judicial system to address issues. If somebody felt that they were being lied about or you're doing, you don't call the police, you file a lawsuit against them. There's already things in place.
Exactly.
In the court system for that.
Well, and there's a statute, statute 22 or something. There's a statute that on freedom of information for journalists and what they're allowed to do and not do. And it was clearly within my rights. Yeah. So they knew that, yeah. But the point is that she was trying to harass me and get me to take it down. And so if that's what you were dealing with, but on steroids, I can understand more of it. And what I put up there was pretty bad. You know, it did make her look really bad, but that was just, I was reading court documents. The court documents themselves make from people she knew and her, it was all, if she's going to get angry, she should be suing the people that said that about her, not me and not you. But right. You're taking it a little farther and you're trying to take down a pedophile ring and she doesn't want to be associated with a pedophile ring. Now, can you tell me where this lawsuit's at and what more is going on with this pedophile ring?
Well, the lawsuit was filed in the Eastern District of Virginia. That's the state of Virginia. I think it was filed on May 25th of 2018. And the reason it's filed in Virginia is it's a conspiracy. It falls under a conspiracy statute, I think. And one of the conspirators was actually in Virginia. See, the people that were doing this to me are actually spread out all over the United States. So it's in Virginia. And I think that they've all been served. Everybody has been served their, their copy of the complaint. And so the next step is they have a certain amount of time to file what's called an answer. And I think the date on the answer, I think it's like September 15th. I think that's the date. And then it moves to the next step, whatever. That'd be, my attorney would know more about what happens after that.
And let's clarify that you're moving around because you have back issues. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
And we clarify this every time we talk, but just so people know. So do you expect them to give you an answer?
You know, I know there's no way that they're going to be able to give a good answer because this case is backed up by things that were published on the internet. In fact, I got a copy of it here. Should I read a couple of things?
Yes.
Attorney Biss, he does a wonderful job at filing an effective complaint. What he did is he put some screenshots in the complaint, and he showed some Twitters. There was a Twitter account set up called Op Exposed TH, which means Operation Exposed Timothy Homestead. And then they put up these posts to QAnon and all these different places. But here's one. Says, pedophile Timothy Homeseth has spent almost a decade trying to get his hands on photos of Haley Cummings' vagina.
Oh my gosh, they said that about you?
Yeah, Haley Cummings, for anybody that doesn't know, was a 5-year-old who was kidnapped on February 10th, 2009 in Florida.
See, now they're just making things up about you versus you were using actual documents. Okay, keep going.
This one is probably, in my mind, this is beyond the pale, what I'm going to read next. Of course, it shows a picture of me with my mugshot, in a mugshot. And it says, pedophile Timothy Holmeseth directed his...
You don't have to read it if it's too hard.
Never gets easier. I'll do it. Pedophile Timothy Holmeseth directed his daughter to molest his son. He had his daughter put lingerie on his young son and photographed him in suggestive poses.
Now, that's all made up, correct? Totally made up.
What it was is my kids played dress up one day. My little boy was like 3 or 4, and my daughter was in like, I think she was in like junior high, no, or maybe early high school. And it started like when all kids play dress up, I think my son put on her high heels and started walking around, and it was really funny. And they said, hey, hey, and I could hear them in there giggling and laughing. And they put some makeup on him. And, you know, so the older girls were playing with him. He was having a ball. So it's kids playing.
Did they get a picture of him and then accused you and twisted it and made it look like you were this creepo?
No, they didn't get a picture of him.
Then how did they even know?
They were talking to people. Kind of didn't, you know. They got into our family. They contacted my son's mother. This is what they do. They try to infiltrate your family. They'll contact a family member, stir that person up, tell that person that you're abusing the child. This is how this operation works. And by the way, it's a place called Specialized Investigative Consultants Incorporated out of Mishawaka, Indiana. The president is Tina Church. And what they do is they do exactly what I just told you. They'll infiltrate a family, and then they'll start lying to one person, lying to another. And the next thing you know, they'll have some person filing child protection reports against the other parent. And they're lying, you know, and they stir these things up. So.
And your kids are 100% behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know. Yeah. I mean, they're like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a very close family. It's all ridiculous. In fact, it's published on my website. You can actually see they kept on me and they finally just kept doing this till I got investigated by Grand Forks County Social Services. They did a complete investigation. That means they had to interview me, my son, and my daughter. And I got an affidavit from them that said, affidavit of no required services, no signs of abuse. So, and I actually, not only was I cleared, I was so thoroughly cleared that I ordered all the documents, and they gave me the little checkoff sheets when they're asking questions. Straight down the line, there was like 12 questions they asked, and it was like, no, 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 no. On both of my kids and me, like none of it was real. In fact, I talked to a social worker on the phone, and I was really glad she told me this. She did something that she made me feel even better. She goes, Tim, not only was there no signs of it, but just so you know, in order for you to get that affidavit, our nine-man child protection team all has to sign off. And she said, that's a sheriff's office, a psychologist, a doctor, like all these, child protection, a whole range of professionals all have to say there was nothing in order for you to get that affidavit. So.
Well, it's so crazy because they did that against you because there's evidence apparently, but the mountains of evidence against this Picasso and all these other characters and nothing, they haven't been investigated. So, and I know there's mountain of evidence because I've seen a lot of it. And it's not just stuff you've dug up. It's stuff that people around them have said about each other. And I'm, and stuff that they've said on video, you know, on audio, and these guys need to be investigated. And so it's disturbing to know that someone like you, a journalist, is investigated, but yet someone like them have not been.
That's exactly, yeah, that's exactly why this thing that we call Pedigate even exists. It's because our government got so infiltrated and saturated. What they did is they stacked all the agencies, not all of them. There's still good people in there.
Well, obviously, but you ran across nine of them, or the majority of them, that investigated you.
Yeah, in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I was, and actually to the credit of Polk County, Minnesota, where I live, they never went for it either. There was like 7 child protection complaints filed against me, and almost every one of them named Haley Cummings in it. So what they were doing was trying to make it look, here's what the plan was. This isn't a police report. They kept using the word, Timothy Holmseth is obsessed with Haley Cummings. Sarah, I had never written a story about a missing child. I mean, I'm an award-winning reporter. I've won first place awards when I did news work in news, but independently or anywhere else, I had never written about a missing child. But this case had fallen into my lap. I had been doing interviews for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and all of a sudden there's a police report that says, I'm obsessed with this missing child, and there's a bunch of child protection reports against that are supposed to be supporting that. So do you see what they were doing? And I'll complete it for you. You know what else they did? They called the police and told them that I had a life-size poster of Haley Cummings in my bedroom. They were
Do you have a life-size poster at all?
I don't have a life-size poster. How do you even get one? You'd have to specially print something to get.
So it's another made-up thing.
Yeah, I had a picture of Haley. It's on my marker board where I had all my contact telephone numbers for the project I was working on. It was a like this size paper. It was a picture of the little missing girl that I was working with, and the picture they were trying to draw of me was that I was a pedophile. And if you follow the pattern, and if you follow the pattern all through the years. In fact, I've set up a web page called, you can go to my website. If you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see a link that says, The Moment an Illuminati Prosecutor Got Caught Lying to a Judge. And it's regarding East Grand Forks City Attorney Ronald Galstead, who is going to be disbarred.
I'm saying it right now.
My message to Ronald Galstead, we'll talk a little bit more about him. Ronald Galstead's going to be disbarred because he's behind this. And he knew all about this, and he knew that they had taken these naked pictures of this little girl, and he's trying to cover it up. And so, I don't want to go off on too
much. Well, he could be involved in that whole thing. Who knows? But you're a perfect example of what happens to journalists who put themselves out there trying to take on the cabal, or journalists or anybody that's trying, a whistleblower, who's trying to take them out, and then what they do to you and your family and your person for trying to take on something that's really large and, frankly, dangerous. And so they just completely smear your reputation and make it so you can't work, you can't do anything. Now, and that's what this lawsuit really is about, is clearing your name, and you're suing for a lot of money, aren't you?
Yeah, just so I get the amount right, I think it was... We're suing for $2,350,000.
Okay, and that's that's punitive, right? Can't there be more than that?
I think that they can add, it says plaintiff seeks compensatory damages and punitive damages in an amount not less than $2,350,000.
Okay.
So not less than.
Okay,
they destroyed my whole life.
Well, yeah, for a decade.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta sit here and talk about things saying that I directed my one child to molest my other child. How could, and I have no protection from the police department here because they're in on it.
Now, not everybody's in on it, right? Are there a couple bad seeds?
It's actually the higher level guys. It's Ronald Galstead, Lieutenant Detective Rodney Highcheck, and Sergeant Iso Shraga. He's a sergeant at the police department, and he's also the commander of the Minnesota Pine to Prairie Task Force. And he was the one, believe me, they'll be watching this, and they know it's going down. They know I have them. What they did was the specialized investigative consultants, and there were several of them, but they were talking to the police in conversations that were not documented. And here's how it went down. They told them, they said, Timothy Holmseth has naked pictures of Haley Cummings. Well, I didn't have them, but I was able to write about them because Donald Knopp had described them to me. He was a legal assistant at a law office. And so he was able to describe these naked pictures of this little naked kidnapped girl. And they called the police and they were talking to him and saying, if you just take Timothy Holmseth's computer, you'll find those pictures, because they thought I had them. They thought that they had been sent to me. I didn't have them. So what they did is the Shraga went and got a search warrant and a seizure warrant from a judge so they could take my computer, and they took it. And lo and behold, when they went into the computer, the pictures weren't there. And now the problem, see, what they were going to do is stumble upon. They made up some crap that made it look like I was a drug dealer. And then.
And that's what they do. Yeah. This is exactly what they do. You just happen to be. And the problem, and this is why it's such an important lawsuit. The problem is that it's hard. Why it's a smear of character is because they make it believable. And then they show this crappy mugshot and all these things. And they really just break you down. Anyways, keep going.
Well, anyway.
I'm not saying that I believe it. I'm just saying that's what's so hard for journalists and people in your situation.
The city attorney in East Grand Forks, Ronald Galstead, after they took my computer, they took my computer on December 14th, 2012. On January 4th, 2013, so a few weeks later, there was a court hearing. And during that court hearing, it was Honorable Tamara Yan presiding. I was representing myself at that hearing, and Galstead was there. And the issue of my computer that had been seized came up. And Ronald Galstead told the judge, and this is in the court record, you know, I have the transcripts. He told the judge that the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension told them, the prosecution, that before they can conduct a forensic search of my computer, they need another warrant, something that's more specification in the warrant of what they're looking for. So he told the judge on the record that he was working with the BCA. That's the Minnesota State Crime Lab, okay? He told her that they were working with them. So I contacted the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and the superintendent of the Minnesota BCA, his name is Andrew Evans. He wrote me back and he said, we don't even know what you're talking about. We had nothing to do with this. We don't know anything about it. We were never asked to forensically search your computer. We don't even know anything about this. And we never gave anybody permission to put BCA evidence stickers on your property. Because when I got my computer back and all the property, they seized my mail, everything. It was all covered with stickers that said Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Ronald Galstead committed perjury against Timothy Charles Holmseth on January 4th, 2013, when he told Honorable Tamara Yan that he was working with the BCA regarding my computer. And it was perjury because he asked the judge to take a judicial action based upon the lie he just told her, because he wanted Honorable Yan to give him another warrant so then they could go to the BCA and start searching my computer. The BCA never...
So he lied, got the warrant off of lies, and then he never was working for the BCA. Now, he could lose his license for, couldn't he? And
it's going to be disbarred.
I hope so, because that's a serious crime. And now I hope they know this and they're actually doing something about it, because so many people do nothing about it. And these are the things they need to follow up on.
And you know why it's so serious? It isn't just because somebody wronged Timothy. It's because Ronald Galstead knew what they were really looking for on that computer. They were looking for those pictures of Haley, but they didn't want to write that into the warrant because that would lead to, well, who told you about the pictures? Tina Church, this, you know what I mean? They need sworn statements from, like, and then that would lead to the FBI because child pornography is a federal crime. So they had to keep all that hidden while they tried to find it on my computer so they could put me in prison without it. And then in the end, it was going to look like I had kidnapped, raped, and murdered this little girl because Tina Church in July of 2011.
You were never even in Florida.
No, but Tina Church in July of 2011 called and made a police report to the East Grand Forks Police Department that said that I had just told her I had Haley Cummings in my apartment. And the cops came over, and Shraga was one of them because he's involved every step of the way. Sarah, think about this. This is now, and to everybody out there,
but see, how criminal they are. Go ahead, keep going.
You ever seen the Netflix show Making a Murderer regarding Stephen Avery?
Yes.
That's what they were doing to me. They just about were able to make it look like Timothy Holmeseth was obsessed with Haley Cummings. He's got giant life-size pictures of her. He's a pedophile. Oh, look, he just told somebody he had Haley in his apartment. Oh, now we went and took his computer. We just found naked pictures on his computer. Oh, my gosh, look at this. Timothy Holmeseth, he killed this little girl. He kidnapped. It would have all looked like I did it.
But it just didn't work.
Created a paper trail by having cops come to my door and knock and ask if I was smoking pot. So they created a trail that made me look like I was doing drugs. Sarah, it was on. This was a program they ran on me for a long period of time. I was almost Stephen Avery.
Well, you were more than I suppose Stephen Avery is a little bit more innocent than you. I mean, in a sense of not innocent, but I mean, he's just this slow kind of. I mean, that's really, you were taking on a pedophile ring, and you were like getting in. You were over the target. I don't know why they're going after Stephen Avery because that guy just is a slow. He has a mental disorder, right? I mean, he's like.
Yeah, he's a simple man.
He
didn't defend himself.
Well, I don't even know why they would go after something.
They're evil.
That shows the kind of behavior that some people will go towards. But they are desperate, and they're starting to act desperate, shall I say. These things that they're doing are incredible.
And speaking of desperation, Sarah, we can complete that. The other day in court, it was on August 30th, we had court regarding these criminal charges against me. I asked Honorable Jan if I could address the court, and she said yes. And I said, Judge, I have to file a deprivation of rights lawsuit because I've been arrested twice regarding this court order. I've been arrested twice in 7 years on this. Same prosecutor, same police department all the time. I said, but I've been told that this protection order is unconstitutional because Attorney Biss in Virginia said, Tim, he said, this is not a secret in the legal community. This is unbelievable. He said, this order shouldn't even exist. It's so unconstitutional. And I was telling this to the judge, and I said, I've been assigned 3 public defenders by the Minnesota Public Defender's Office. Not one of these lawyers, and I'm gonna name them. Gretchen Handy out of Grand Forks, Bruce Ringstrom out of Moorhead, and Michael Lacassier. Right now, I think he's the prosecutor in Red Lake County. They all defended me. And each one of them, I said, this order violates the Constitution, you know? I pleaded with them. They would not make the argument.
Why?
Because they work for the state and they're in collusion with Galstead and Vipra. They do this to everybody.
So many lawyers are.
Three times is a charm, baby. Deprivation of rights lawsuit. And when I brought that up in court, Sarah, when I did that, you know what Galstead did?
What?
He interrupted me and he said, Judge, at this point, I've got to move for a Rule 2001. A rule 2001 is for me to have a psychological evaluation to see if I'm competent enough to stand trial.
Oh my God. You almost should have fired those lawyers and just said, I'm doing it on my own.
I did. I fired. Suck. I did. I tried to fire Gretchen Handy. I did it in writing. I said, she can't be my lawyer. I'm filing a lawsuit against her. My attorney, Stephen Biss, see, here's the thing. At that hearing, they were setting me up again. But the beauty of this one was attorney Biss, I know what time it is because I got a real lawyer that I've been talking to, Stephen Biss.
Yeah, you get a real lawyer that says this is unconstitutional and then they go after it versus these pansies that don't do anything. I've had my fair share of lawyers that do nothing. And so I know what you were experiencing. Keep going.
Well, anyway, at that court hearing, I was simply doing what attorney Biss told me to do. He said, Tim, the argument has to be made at the trial level. And so in case if they don't grant it, he says it has to be preserved for appeal. I said, Steve, my lawyer won't do it. She won't do it. And he says, well, it has to be done. So I said, I'll stand up and do it myself. And that's exactly what I did. And the moment I went around their system, the moment Gretchen was sitting beside me. She didn't know I was going to do it. The moment I did an end run around their system, Galstead lost it and claimed that I'm not mentally competent.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
So now where is it at? Is that where it stood right now, is whether you're mentally competent?
Yeah, the status of the case now is suspended, which means Judge Yan said that anytime one party makes a request for a mental evaluation of the other party, the court has no discretion. They have to grant it. So it wasn't like the judge went, oh, yeah, we need to do this.
It was a trump card.
Yeah, it's the last thing he could pull. And my attorney, Attorney Biss said, he said, Tim, the trigger was when you said deprivation of rights lawsuit. I've got them dead to rights. Dead to rights. They have violated my rights, my constitutional rights for 7 years, you know, and the worst part is like, not just him, but not just me, but to what? To cover up what's being done to these little kids?
Well, that's exactly right. So it's, you just have to keep fighting. But it looks like there's a light now at the end of the tunnel here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried. When he did that, I was like, thank you. Thank you. You just proved my case. Good luck trying to say that I'm not, mentally competent. Good luck with that, you know.
Well, unless you get, you know, do you have a say in who gets to evaluate you as much as they have a say? I mean, because you got to make sure that whoever evaluates you is legit.
Well, the court ordered a doctor, so I'm allowed to have, I can have a doctor with me of my own choosing too if I want. And I'm going to be moving. I'm going to be making a motion with the court to have Gretchen Handy removed because Attorney Biss advised me that I need to have an attorney with me during this psychological evaluation. He says because they could ask you questions, you know, that could cause you to incriminate yourself in the criminal case. And he says you have to have a lawyer with you. Well, it can't be Gretchen Handy.
Well, not if she's in on it. So you need to figure out how to get one that is that you can trust, obviously, right? And so maybe you can hire your own for this purpose or something.
I don't have the money. You know, that's the problem is, and I, you know, and they do, and I, there's everybody that goes through, every person that gets a public defender, they're all screwed. They have, is the way I see it is with the public defender thing, some people have representation and people with money have a defense. And there's a big difference.
There is.
Everybody gets a lawyer to walk into the courtroom with, but the system needs that lawyer so things move swiftly, but only people with money get a defense. Because none of this should have ever happened to me. My very first lawyer should have said, Judge, this violates the First Amendment. Should have been done. Shouldn't be here. So.
That's exactly right. It should have been done a long time ago.
Yep.
Okay, but in the meantime, you have continued doing your work as a journalist, and this is your life passion now, is to take down these pedophiles. You learned so much through this process that it changed you fundamentally as a person. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. In a lot of ways. Very humbling, for one thing. When you find yourself going to the food shelf, you know what I mean?
Well, because they took away your ability to make money and to take care of yourself. And now you're fighting. You've been fighting back, which is phenomenal. And you've kept your family and you've done all these things. And now you're fighting back and they're on the, you're David versus Goliath kind of story. And it's great. It's starting to happen.
Yeah.